Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
I'm John Batchelor. David Livingston is here. This is Hotel Mars, and we're very privileged to be speaking with Matthew Graham, research professor of astronomy at Caltech, California, who's now traveling. He's in Germany, but we're giving him our unlimited budget. We write the checks no matter what the billing's for, Professor. And given your pursuit of the black holes, what next? In other words, you can have as much time on web as you want. What else do you want, Professor? Thank you.
Well, yes. So actually, the problem with web and Hubble is both that their field of view is actually very small. So they go very deep, but they don't see a large area of sky. And for searching for these sorts of things, what we really want is we want a space telescope with a very large field of view. So we want something like the Roman Space Telescope that's going to be launched next year. So what I would ideally want is I would set up a whole network of space telescopes with very large fields of view so that we could just essentially perpetually monitor most of the sky from space at optical wavelengths or maybe near infrared. But then I think also which would be very valuable is having capability to do this at other wavelengths as well. So certainly the ultraviolet and the X-ray. And so I think having that sort of capability of multi-wavelength monitoring from space of large areas of sky would really help us find all of the flaring black holes out there, which would give us a much better understanding of how these things work and how they contribute to how galaxies evolve and that sort of thing.
I want to understand this. You want to audit the cosmos.
Absolutely.
And that will provide what for that you don't have now?
So that would give me that would give us the ability to see things much faster, have a much better idea of what the timings of things are, catch everything as soon as it happens, rather than when we just happen to be looking at the right area of sky with the right instrument. So it's sort of setting up the ultimate police state where I just want constant monitoring across all energies of large areas of the sky. But, for a few tens of billions of dollars, I think this would certainly be achievable.
We write big checks, Professor. David, you have a question.
If you were just starting your graduate studies in astrophysics, would you advise a student to go into black hole work? Is this a promising career field for the future?
Yes, I think it is, actually, because, we've known about black holes and we've known about the supermassive black holes for about 60 years, but we really still don't understand a lot about them. But I think what's changing is that with all the observational and the computer power to do simulation work, we're making some really interesting advances at the moment. And so I think it's a very vibrant field. And there's a lot of, low hanging fruit or things to discover or interesting things to figure out. So I think this is really a growth area at the moment.
Is there right now in the order of things, thinking about how many you will find when you do this big audit, is there a mathematical formula or is it random?
No, we have ideas about how frequent these things should be. some based on our simulations of galaxy environments and supermassive black holes, some based on observations of other areas of sky or particular things like that. So we can have a sort of guesstimate of how common these things should be or how often we should detect something.
Are they creation itself, Professor? How do you think of them metaphorically?
Actually, not as creation. I mean, they're a holdover, or they're something from the very early universe. That's when they were seeded. But they are, you know, they sit there and they just suck up everything that comes into contact with them. So, and they'll be the things that are left when everything else is gone. So, you know, maybe they're the real product of the universe in some ways.
So we're looking at something that could be the future, the black hole.
Oh, no, it definitely is the future. Yes. For folks who study the, you know, the far future of the universe or where things are going, once everything else has died down, the supermassive black holes will still be there.
Have you spent enough money now? I mean, you're auditing the sky at different wavelengths. Is there anything else that you would like? Should we set up a black hole university?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't just do, I'd do gravitational waves as well, because I think those help us do sorts of things. So I think I would just sort of set up a dedicated black hole university, which is able to study these things right across the spectrum.
Did you have the black hole theory when you were being educated in the 20th century, Professor? Is this all new in the last 25 years?
No. I mean, we didn't have, there were objects that we thought were black holes. Stephen Hawking and Roger Penrose did a lot of work in the late 60s, early 70s on this. I was at college in the 90s. But I remember reading some, you know, a popular work by Kip Thorne in the 80s about black holes. So we certainly had ideas about them. A lot of those were sort of stellar mass black holes, more, you know, what happens at the end of a star's lifetime, a big star's lifetime.
Right.
The supermassive black holes, I think, were less thought about. I think we've come into more of, that's come into more of its own as a field in as we've moved into the 21st century, I think.
Wonderful. Matthew Graham, Caltech, David Livingston, Dr. Space.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.